Chapter 11. It had been years since Iden had visited her homeworld. She'd always assumed that one day she'd return, eventually. It was not a place with the happiest of memories. Better things had happened to her at the Academy and during the months she'd been assigned to the Death Star's TIE Fighter Squadron. Vardos was where she had been born, in a comfortable, gleaming apartment in one of the high-rising buildings in the capital city of Kestro. It was where she'd lain awake at night, listening to her parents argue. Where she had kissed her mother goodbye as Z-Hey Versio had left for a new assignment on Coruscant. And then to Otherworld seemingly as often as Iden changed her uniform. Where Iden had been raised, more by Headmaster Gleb of the future Imperial Leaders Preparatory School than her own parents, studying human and alien anatomy before she was 10 to know the most vulnerable place of attack. Where she had killed for the first time at age 15. Her brief time on the moon of Yavin had been Iden's first experience with anything resembling a place that wasn't almost completely covered with duracrete and transparisteel. She looked down at the city of her birth through the shuttle's windows as the vessel descended, as its orderly roads, all of them leading to the Archive, the world's most secure and valuable building. How odd and upside down everything was, Iden thought. When she'd imagined returning, she had seen herself doing so in triumph. She dared visualize parades along the city streets, perhaps with father and daughter participating side by side in positions of honor. The streets would be crowded as the planet welcomed the return of its favorite son, the man who had brought them under the benevolent and protective wing of the Empire, and its best-loved daughter, the hero of the Empire. There were crowds gathering at the base of the Archive, all right. They were, as Vardosians always were, orderly. There had never been a riot here during Iden's lifetime, but the crowds had not come in anticipation of a parade. They had come hoping to get a glimpse of the traitor. The shuttle settled down on the building's roof. One of the two stormtroopers who had been sent to escort Iden rose and strode to her, towering over her as she sat with the crash webbing on.
"Hold out your hands," he said brusquely.
He, his companion, and nearly everyone else outside of Inferno Squad itself were under the impression that she was truly a traitor. And while the trooper wasn't rude, Iden was still, after all, Admiral Versio's daughter. His contempt for her was evident in both the tone of his voice and the disapproving frown that wasn't yet hidden by a helmet. Wordlessly, looking up into his cold eyes, Iden stuck out her hands. The second stormtrooper watched, his blaster trained on her, while the first one snapped a pair of stun cuffs on her wrists.
"You know how these work, right?"
"Yes," she said coolly. "Of course I do."
"Got a big crowd out there," the other was saying. "We deliver her to JSEC and then we wash our hands of her. They get to handle this from there. Blaster's on stun."
"Copy that," the first one said,
just before he put the bucket on, slipping into the comfort of plastoid uniform anonymity. He said,
"Anyone else they'd execute. You? You get a job."
He shook his head in disgust and put the bucket on. As Iden followed him down the ramp onto the roof of the hub, she was glad that she'd seen them both set their blasters to stun. Even so, she felt a phantom, anticipatory itch between her shoulder blades. Gleb was waiting for her, clad in the familiar uniform Iden remembered from her childhood. Dark blue shirt and trousers, with a wide maroon belt. The uniform wasn't Imperial. It was unique to Vardos, denoting the wearer as someone who had been granted certain powers and rank in the eyes of the Empire, but who obviously wasn't an official member. The uniform was also distinctively non-Aqualish in design, and that was deliberate. Its lines gave Gleb the profile of a stocky, rather dumpy human, if one could get past her four red eyes and two enormous tusks. Gleb stood at attention, waiting for Iden to be escorted to her. She had one three-fingered hand openly on her weapon, even though she was flanked by several armed Janata security officers. There were others gathered on the large rooftop, prominent Imperial officers and high-ranking representatives of the primary non-human species. Above, getting the best angle possible, hovered a cam droid broadcasting the drama live to the holonet.
Iden Versio,
Gleb said, speaking through the gold-colored translator around her thick throat. She spoke loudly for the benefit of the broadcast and the crowd.
It's been a long time. How low the mighty have fallen.
Hello, Major Gleb, Iden said. Please allow me to thank you for the opportunity to work for you. Gleb narrowed her top set of blood-colored, glittering eyes.
It was only a favor to your father. Although you have dishonored him tremendously, his great love for you believes that you can redeem yourself with hard work. Perhaps you will remember some of what you once learned here, before you saw fit to speak ill of the glorious Empire.
The lessons. The school. The punishments. Iden's jaw clenched, and she loosened it with an effort. Perhaps I will, she said. Gleb gave the Aqualish equivalent of a harumph.
Do not think you'll receive any special treatment.
No, of course not. Iden almost snapped the words. She was supposed to act as if she felt she should be cowed, but wasn't. It was extremely easy, because Gleb was starting to irritate her. Gleb gazed at her for a long moment, long enough, Iden thought uncharitably, to make sure that the holonet cam droid could get a good close-up of her face. Then Gleb addressed her officers.
Take her away,
the Aqualish instructed, then turned and strode briskly towards the door. The two officers, a Zebrak and a Duros, seized Iden's arms and all but shoved her to the entrance of the second waiting shuttle. Iden stumbled, but caught herself, and glared at the Zebrak. All for a good show, she thought. She couldn't wait till this was over. There was no chance to speak with Gleb in the shuttle to the JSEC headquarters. As the shuttle settled into the hangar where the official vessels of Janata Security were located, hundreds congregated outside there too, held back by crowd control droids. And there were holonet cam droids capturing everything while Iden was walked, the Duros and the Zebrak, each holding one of her arms, through a gray Durasteel walkway to the detached buildings that were Gleb's private living area. Even then, the two officers who had manhandled Iden on the rooftop followed them into the gleaming, flat-topped metallic structures draped with long red banners adorned with the white cog of the Empire.
The instructions of your father,
Gleb said, bridling slightly. It obviously displeased the Aqualish to be required to submit to anything that might make her look less than completely capable.
You see, Iden, you may only be under house arrest, but there will be no escaping.
Iden stayed silent.
Iden will accompany me to my office,
Gleb instructed the JSEC guards.
I will brief her about what is expected of her during her stay. Come on, girl.
Iden followed Gleb into her office. The door hissed closed behind them.
Do not worry. This place is entirely private.
As far as you know, Iden thought, but did not say. She held out her hands to Gleb and looked meaningfully at them. Gleb unlocked them, glancing down at Iden's wrists.
They did not use the right size,
she said. Iden's wrists were raw. Tell me something I don't know, Iden said.
I'm not going to treat them. An injury will make everything more believable.
She's enjoying this, Iden realized, then wondered why she was surprised. When she was younger, she'd idolized Gleb for a short time. The Aqualish had stepped in to fill the void created by her parents' divorce. With her mother traveling the galaxy and her father home only irregularly, Gleb was the only adult authority figure the young Iden had. It wasn't that Gleb was physically cruel. She was too smart for that. No, it was the subtle things. She liked to be in control of everyone and everything. And now, she was going to oversee not just Admiral Versio's only child, but Admiral Versio's grand plan for Inferno Squad.
Have you watched any of the coverage?
Gleb inquired. Iden sank into one of the chairs. Elsewhere in Gleb's life, she espoused the austerity of the Empire. But here, in her own residence, it seemed she enjoyed her creature comforts. She went to a sideboard and opened it, taking out a bottle of golden brown liquid and a glass. "No, I wasn't allowed to," Aiden replied.
"You should. It is glorious. Everyone hates you."
Gleb poured the beverage into the glass, one specially designed to accommodate her tusks, and drank. It was an ugly, slurping sound. Both sets of her scarlet eyes were bright.
"Thanks. I'll pass. I had my fill of that at my court-martial. I just hope it's enough to attract attention. How in the hell are the Dreamers gonna get to me if you've got me locked up anyway?"
The thought of this farce dragging on for more than a few weeks was too unpleasant to contemplate.
"I do not think you understand quite how unpopular you are. All you need to do is keep that up. Make everyone around you believe that you do not really regret what you said about the Empire. That you are tolerating this only because there is no way out for you. The Dreamers are hungry, and they are angry, and they are desperate. They will come for you, all right?"
Aiden leaned back in the sofa and rubbed her eyes. Those involved in her court-martial and sentencing had gone easy on her because of her father, who, even though he was supposedly outraged, had gone on record as being convinced that his daughter would change. She knew what was usually done to prisoners, especially traitors. She had been present at interrogations. But even this seemingly lighter sentence was draining.
"In the meantime, you will be sharing my quarters. You will have a small area to yourself, including a private courtyard. You have a couple of messages waiting for you."
She hesitated, then added,
"From your parents."
Aiden stiffened. She'd expected to receive an update and instructions from her father upon her arrival in Gleb's house. But her mother... It hadn't been that long since she had seen her mother. When Aiden had returned as one of the few survivors of the Death Star, Zihei had contacted her as soon as she'd been notified. It had been a good talk, though brief. As her illness progressed, Zihei tired more easily. But Aiden wasn't looking forward to this one. Loyal, imperial, and respected artist Zihei Versio might be, but Aiden could count on one hand the people outside of Inferno Squad who had the security clearance to be told the truth, and her mother wasn't among that number. Aiden had urged her father to reconsider. "Mama's not doing well, and she should know," she had said. But her father shut her down at once. "This is top secret, Aiden. She doesn't have the clearance. I'm surprised you'd even suggest such a thing." The words had stung, because she knew she shouldn't have asked. But she wasn't sorry she had tried. Zihei Versio's condition would not be improved by her daughter's court-martial. She nodded at the decanter of brandy. "Don't suppose there's one of those in my room?" She didn't drink often, but some liquid courage might help her handle what she was about to face.
"Of course not,"
Gleb replied, annoyed.
"This is supposed to be something resembling work release, Aiden. You have been found guilty of sedition. You are lucky to even have a bed rather than a cot in a local prison."
"Can't risk anyone smelling alcohol on me," Aiden thought. And I bet she loved turning me down. "Thought so. Are we done here?" Gleb took another slurping, dribbling pull on the beverage.
"I think so, yes. Up at 0500. You can exercise in the courtyard, and there's a fresh uniform for you in your room. Be ready to go at 0700. And the work will not be pushing data pads either. Dismissed."
The rush of resentment at hearing Gleb uttering the order surprised Aiden. She greatly outranked the Aqualish, and for a moment she was tempted to remind Gleb of that fact. But Gleb was a key player in this scheme, and in her own way was performing a valuable service to the Empire. Aiden would be gone soon enough, and her attention taken up with the meat of the mission. She could afford to let Gleb have a momentary sensation of superiority. Her room was surprisingly pleasant, if not as luxurious as her former and present, she supposed, boss's was. There was a small, neatly made bed with a nightstand and an adjustable lamp, a table with a datapad, and a holoprojector. Rather cowardly, she thought, Aiden decided to hear from her father first. It had been deemed too risky for him to contact her during the arrest and court-martial phase, but this particular recording had been earmarked for Gleb. His image was only about the size of her hand, but even in miniature, his presence came through.
If you're watching this, then you have arrived successfully and are in your room at Gleb's residence. This means that we've navigated everything smoothly and you are now reduced to waiting. I trust, though, that you will rise to the occasion and persevere. You have, of course, been isolated from current events, even public ones, until now. Gleb will be able to fill you in on many things, and I've sent along a few bottles of brandy to lubricate the flow of information and to show the Empire's appreciation of her cooperation.
Aiden snorted, so that's where the bottles had come from.
The others have already embarked on their own journeys to the rendezvous point,
Admiral Versio continued.
I have been in irregular contact, so largely they, like you, are on their own. I have confidence, however, that shortly all of you will rendezvous at the Dreamer base of operations and proceed as planned. In the meantime, I suggest, when possible, without further incriminating yourself, that you maintain the facade and keep yourself in the public eye. Gleb will assist in that.
But you will, Aiden thought sourly.
If there are further developments that you need to know, she will inform you.
The hologram disappeared. Not even a goodbye or good luck. Aiden had been concerned that her father might say something best not overheard, so she had chosen to view Versio's message inside, away from any prying eyes. But she realized, as she looked about the small room, that she had not been outside, at least not without the company of 3 or 4 stormtroopers, since the events had begun. Gleb had mentioned a courtyard, and suddenly Aiden felt the need to escape even a pleasant confinement. She took the holoprojector with her. Even if it was overheard, the second message would not harm the mission in any way. The earlier overcast skies had cleared, and the courtyard was surprisingly pleasant. There was little greenery, admittedly. There was little greenery anywhere on the planet, though it was not an ecumenopolis like Coruscant. Not yet, anyway. But there was a shinya tree. As was traditional, it had been planted so that its branches overhung a small stone pool. The water was not completely still, but it flowed slowly over an unlipped edge into a second pool. From there, it drained so that, out of sight, it would be quickly and efficiently purified and cycled back into perfectly potable, clear liquid. The blue sky and the bright leaves were reflected in the pool, and as Aiden watched, a breeze rustled the tree. A single scarlet leaf detached itself from its branch and wafted its way down to land in the water. A thin crimson curl twisted languidly as the water leached the leaf's pigment. Another curl joined it, and a third, then a fourth. The impression one had was that the dying leaf was bleeding out. Folklore had it that the tree had once been a young woman who had slashed her wrists when forbidden to marry the suitor she had loved. The water bore the fallen leaf and its billowy scarlet trail slowly toward the edge in a funereal manner. Aiden watched it hover there, then gracefully tip over the edge, out of her sight. The trees had survived, amusingly enough, because of her father, who praised them as a symbol of the planet's devotion to the Empire. Displaying the trees had become a popular pastime for those wanting to stay on the Empire's good side, which was anyone and everyone among the planet's non-human populace who had the room to plant them. This had happened before Aiden's birth, but she had watched the hollows of his speech, the one that had gotten a red stone statue of him erected, often enough to remember almost all of it. Certainly the most famous lines. Once the maiden of the Shinya let her life's blood flow, drop by drop, for great love.
And so too we of Vardos,
the people of the Shinya. Let our life's blood flow in heroic battle for love of our empire.
It amused Aiden that while they were a symbol of Vardos' patriotism, the trees were purely ornamental. They yielded no fruit, and the wood did not lend itself to carving or for use as firewood. They were, quite literally, good for nothing, other than propaganda and looking pretty, but that small detail seemed to have escaped her father. They had become a symbol to Versio, and that was sufficient to grant them amnesty when the rest of the planet's vegetation succumbed to the march of Duracrete. Aiden was, nonetheless, glad that they had been spared. She had a dim memory of a house full of paintings of the white trees and their weeping red leaves, and a mother and father who smiled and spoke kindly to each other. She grimaced. She could put off this task no longer. She sat on the gray stone side of the pool, carefully put down the holo projector, and activated it. She gasped softly. Her mother, her beautiful, radiant, always smiling mother, who was never unkempt despite her slow decline, looked terrible. Her large, expressive eyes were bloodshot, and her hair was a mess. She stared seemingly straight at Aiden as she spoke.
I don't even know what to say,
Sihei said. Her voice cracked on the last word.
I had to find out about it through the holonet. I couldn't believe it at first. I told Garrick that blonde boy had set you up. That my darling Aiden, who loved the Empire just as much as I did, would never, ever turn her back on it like that. But it wasn't a setup. I'm told you're going to be court-martialed. I want you to know I'm going to do whatever I can to help you. I can't bear the thought of losing you. Whatever you did, however you feel, it could be changed if they just won't take my baby.
Fresh tears filled Zihei's eyes and trickled down her dark, sunken cheeks. She wiped them away and for a moment sat silently, pressing her full lips together hard.
I don't know what happened to you. I don't know who got to you or why you would say such horrible things. It's not true. The Empire is a force for great justice in this galaxy. It's the only thing that stands between us and the mindless, angry chaos of the Rebellion. What do you think I've been doing all these years? I have a gift, and I've used it to inspire others to join up, to support their empire, so that we can finally help those who need our help.
She'd done more than just use her gift to inspire others. Zihei had traveled to planets all over the galaxy, trying to reach the populations with her art. It was on such a mission that she had contracted the disease that was slowly sucking the vibrancy, the good humor, the very life out of her. She'd fought it for 4 years. But Zihei and her daughter knew that the time would come when she could fight no longer. The medical droids had encouraged her to keep painting, to do what she enjoyed as long as she could. They cautioned Aiden that undue stress would be detrimental. One of Aiden's hands drifted to the opposite wrist. She squeezed it. Hard. Pain blossomed, bright and clear and sharp. Aiden needed the pain someplace where she could control it. She was sure that there were no Imperial bugs in Gleb's house, and she was equally sure that Gleb herself had installed means of spying on her new houseguest. And Aiden was not going to give her former teacher the chance to gloat over Aiden's suffering.
Baby, I want you to know that whatever happens, I'll always love you. You're my daughter, Aiden. You'll always be my daughter. And I'll always be your mother. Whatever you do, whatever you say, I can't ever not love you.
Zihei took a long, quivering breath.
But I have lost my respect for you.
A soft, hurt sound struggled to escape Aiden. She bit her lip, hard, and squeezed the cuff injury harder.
I am shocked and disillusioned. And Aiden, you didn't just betray the Empire or the Emperor. You betrayed your father. You betrayed me. And I'm not sure I can ever
forgive you for that.
Mama? No.
Years fell away. Iden stood beside her father, who towered so tall over her then, watching the shuttle lift off the ground, bearing her mother far, far away. Iden wouldn't see her again for years. Never again on Vardos.
It's all right, her father had said. It's best for all of us that she's gone. She's a Versio in name only. We, you and I, are true Versios. And Versios don't cry, do they?
No, sir,
her five-year-old self had replied in a voice thick with unneutered shrieks of grief.
Versios don't cry.
Iden gritted her teeth and jabbed her thumb into the raw flesh. The holographic image smiled weakly through her tears.
But I will try to forgive. Once you understand what you've done and how wrong you were. But you've got to get to that place. So you get there. And you get there fast.
Zihe seemed to want to say something more, but she changed her mind. She shook her head and wiped again at her wet face. Then she reached out towards the holo recorder and was gone.
You get there. You get there fast.
Iden's pain dissolved, replaced by grim determination. Oh, she'd get there sooner than any of them ever expected. Because once they had found the source of the information leak, once they had ground the Dreamers into the dust and returned victorious as Inferno Squad, Iden would be able to be a captain again. She would be able to tell her mother then that everything she'd said had been a lie, and it was only love of the Empire, not hatred for it, that had given her the courage to get through these awful days.
She lowered her gaze and saw the pressure on her wrist had caused the wound to reopen, and a drop of red blossomed in the water, then drifted away.